All right, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Daily Journey. It's Friday, April 10. Welcome to the end of your spring break, perhaps. Our kids have been on spring break, and it's been like this week is exactly like the 3 weeks prior to it, except the teachers are sending less information over the email. So, but yeah, we've been doing this Daily Journey podcast. Started out with just me. Because I feel like it's might be helpful for people to process how other people are processing, and to be in conversation. And I got kind of bored with doing it just me, and that's less interesting to listen to. So I invited friends on. And really the idea behind this is, call it two questions. They, ask somebody on, they ask two questions, we have a conversation, and it's, who knows where it goes? I don't edit it. I just stick it right up and you get what you get. And if you love it, great. Keep listening. If you don't, I'm sure there's a million better podcasts you could be listening to right now too. So, but today Missy McCarty is joining me. Hi, Missy.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
Missy, why don't you tell us about yourself? Give us a little intro. What do you want people to know about who you are?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So hi, I'm Missy McCarty. I am married to Ryan, and we have three children. We have Luke and Mia, who are in fifth grade. They are twins. And we have Brayden in fourth. And when I'm not in quarantine, I am a third grade teacher.
Mm-hmm. So you have a whole third grade teacher perspective on this sort of thing.
And I do. Yeah. From the eyes of a third grader.
Well, and there's probably plenty of parents out there who are sick of hearing from teachers right now. Like, how do I teach? How do I do your job in my house when I'm also trying to do my job? Right.
It's a very different way to look at teaching right now. Yeah. We're all in this like first time. Like, what is this going to look like?
Have you gotten any feedback from parents that are like frustrated about this or?
You know, a lot of the parents are just really excited when we connect with the kids.
Oh, okay.
A lot of parents, like really great feedback from Zoom.
Yeah,
like,
especially at third grade, I think.
Yes, yeah. Like so great that they could see everybody. And a lot of the kids, some of the kids are actually talking more on Zoom with the computer kind of support with their classmates. Sometimes they're really quiet in the classroom. So it's been really interesting to see just how technology has just continued to connect us. But I mean, a month ago, I had never heard of Zoom. I had never heard of it. And now it's like everywhere. It's everywhere. Uh-huh.
That's funny. A month ago, you've never heard of it. How do you feel about your, we were talking a little bit off the mic, but like, tell us how you're feeling about the abruptness of the end of your school year.
Oh my goodness. I am such, I love structure and I love routine. So that teaching is a great profession for that because it's so different every day, but you have your set schedule. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been teaching now for 18 years. So you have a rhythm, you know, it's a rhythm and it's, March. And so you have your kind of what you're gearing up for in March.
Yeah.
And it was a Thursday night when we heard, from Whitmer, and then it was a Friday morning and it was so, wow. I mean, it just took my breath away just how quick things were moving.
Oh, sure.
And how abrupt that felt because I'm processing it as an adult, but I also see, you know, 23 third graders looking at me like,
Did you have a lot less kids that Friday? Because I know like we didn't let our kids go to school that day and like half of the school didn't. Was that true for you?
I had probably, I think I only had three not come.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it was just interesting.
But you spent that day going, this is it for a while.
Yeah. I tried to like key them in on a few words. Like you're going to hear the word postpone a lot. You're going to hear, this is what that means. You might hear these kind of things coming from adults and it might look a little different. And we did say goodbye. I don't know. I just had this thing where I'm like, we need to say goodbye.
Because at that point it was just like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something.
Right. So, and that was so overwhelming. And now look, you know?
Yeah.
But,
Man. All right. Well, you know, like I said, this is two questions. I always tell folks, I don't know, think of two questions. I don't want to know what they are ahead of time. And even when people ask similar questions, we have interesting conversations, I think. So.
Okay. And I thought you were so brave for that, for being like, Missy, just ask me two questions. And I'm like, as a teacher, I was like, you don't want to know? Like, you don't want to prepare? That was so fun.
I guess on one hand, knowing the person I just asked to do this, this is a little dangerous. On the other hand, knowing the person I asked to do this, I feel totally fine.
Right. That's a good way to look.
I know you well enough.
Right. It's good. That's good. Okay. So here is my first question. Okay. So, you know, I'm talking to Scott Pontier, right? And so I'm just curious, like, what kind of conversations are you having with your kids during this time? Like, I guess it's Dad Scott, right? And so, like, what is Dad Scott? Like, when you're with your boys and they're home more and they can't go out and play with their friends, what are you guys talking about? What's guy talk look like?
Now I'm, like, going back in my head and try to catalog every conversation. I mean, we've had, with each kid, I think I've had a number of conversations that are around, why are you doing the thing that you are doing? But, like, it's actually an emotional conversation of, like, what's going on inside of you. So, like, I have one kid who gets really, you know, he's a lot easier to get upset, you know, and then the whole family system tips that way and that sort of thing. So usually at the end of the night, I'll have to come back to that and be like, so tell me more about this. Tell me what's going on inside of you and tell me why'd you feel that way? Or why did you do that? Cause you can't get the actual conversation out of him when it's in the middle of something like that, but we will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have some of those conversations, but mostly my kids have been not too out of sorts. I think just that feels normal to us. Like, the out of sortsness feels normal. They don't feel stressed there. I think early on we did have a lot of conversations about what it means to not go back to school kind of stuff, because it was this sort of domino. Like, at first it was a couple weeks, then it was like, well, after spring break, and then it was like, well, maybe by the end of May, and then it was like, well, not at all. And so just, I do a lot of processing with them. I ask them a lot of questions, and I'm like, and also trying to help them see reality of, hey, listen, you're probably not going to go back to the end of school this year. How do you feel about that? Or, you know, things like that. And then they don't really ask a lot of questions around the coronavirus stuff. We joke around a lot.
Right. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We try to make each other laugh a lot. Isaac and I had a really long conversation about human sexuality a couple weeks ago because he has friends who identify as gay and he wants to know if they're going to go to hell.
Right. Well, those are serious things that he's processing with all of us. I mean, you've got a lot of time to think right now.
Uh-huh. And I can't, because he loves these people that he loves and that sort of thing. So, and those are not always, those are not always conversations we can have in the regular world. But right now there's enough space to let things breathe where he at least can come at it and ask questions. So we have those conversations. One of my kids often feels like, am I doing enough of the right things, you know, without this structure? Mm-hmm. And I just tell him he's doing great, you know, and like reassure him in some of those ways. What else do I talk about with my kids? We play a lot of games, you know, we talk a lot about video games and play some video games together. We, you know, play a ton. We haven't this week as much, but we play a board game kind of every night. Our basement flooded and we had, like, that was really stressful for the family system. And so it's just sort of managing the different stresses. We talk a little bit about what's going on out there, out in the world. But I also try not to read the death toll every night to my children and do that either. So I don't know. I'm imagining it's a lot of conversations you have with your kids too.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm kind of curious too. Cause like, sometimes I'm, as a parent, I'm like, I want to be a buffer, you know, for the whole thing for them, for sure. But just, you know, sometimes I'm like, am I initiating enough? Should, you know, are they gonna come to me and ask me? Do I have to watch their behaviors to see when they need me to step in? You know, that. So just kind of those parent chats of like kind of navigating this with their kids is something that Ryan and I talk about a lot.
Do you feel like you're failing at it? Like, do you feel that anxiety?
I hope not. Well, it's interesting because just watching just how, kind of like what you were saying, how each of your kids process this whole thing differently. And just noticing like some behavior changes. And I'll notice like them doing something and I'm like, well, that's, I've never seen them do that. I wonder if something's going on. And then trying to dig in a little bit more about that, you know, and find out where is this coming from? Oh, you know, and now we're getting to the, you know, I can't, yep, school's done. Coronavirus took everything, you know.
Yeah, Isaac feels that way a lot more than Jonah does, because Isaac feels like, I mean, he's moving from eighth grade to ninth grade, so he's like, I'm never gonna see those teachers again, and I didn't get a chance to say goodbye, and that makes him really sad. He liked his teachers and things like that, but
yes, for sure.
I mean, my kids are almost 14 and 13.
Yes,
they never stop talking. So like most of what I'm doing is nodding my head and say, uh-huh, yeah, oh, okay. And just responding to whatever is coming out of their mouths.
Right.
Which is nonsense a lot of the time. But you know, you get an odd pearl in there every now and then where you're like, oh, here's a conversation. Let's have it.
Very cool. Have you had to do any, you have the two questions, but have you had any fill in the blanks yet? Has anybody asked you that?
No. Fill in the blanks.
I'd be the first person to ask you a fill in the blank.
I want to hear your fill in the blank.
That would make me so excited. Okay. So just thinking about like the conversations you've had, just even as a family, because that's who we're with, right? So this is a perfect time to talk about blank.
Oh my gosh. For me personally or for just people?
It could be either. However you could take it. Like I've been hearing this a lot when I've been hearing people talk about this. So maybe this would be a good direction. However you take that, could be within your family or, you know.
I guess one of the things I didn't say in the other question, I think one of the conversations we are having now is that answers this one. Now is a perfect time to talk about God, right? Like, so we don't do that very well in my house. And we've noted this particularly around the Sunday morning stuff, because now on Sunday morning, I sit on the couch or at the table and I engage our service at Jamestown and with my family. Other Sunday mornings was I'd leave before I saw them, right? They would come to a church service, kind of not talk to me because, you know, I'm talking to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then they'd go home after whatever they experienced. And then 3 hours later, I would come home, you know, like, so we don't have that window where we've like discussed what God was doing or saying or whatever. And so now we get to do that. And it's a little awkward at first, and you know, cause they're teenagers too, but it's not part of ours. So now we spend a Sunday morning like using those prompts to have conversations. And it's not always like, it's not like it where it's always poetry or anything like that, but you know, like it's added a dimension of spiritual awareness to our family that I really enjoy and we're grateful for. And so I think for any of us, now is a good time to do that, because it's one of those things that gets off the radar really quickly, because it's hard to do with your kids sometimes. I think maybe the age your kids are like just getting to, it's starting to get maybe a little bit harder. Like I remember when my kids were fourth, fifth grade, like talking about Jesus was simple then. Now talking about Jesus is very different, right? Because they have bigger questions that are much more abstract, and they can't handle that even sometimes. And so it's like, it's just really easy to go, I don't know how to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
You know, like the best I can do is make you go to youth group, and you don't even like doing that all the time. And then I have the added like thing of like, how hard do I push and pull this thing? Cause I don't want them to resent the church cause their dad's a pastor. And that's an easy thing too. So right now, like we have the opportunity with less things pulling us in other directions to have like spiritual conversations. And I'm not saying that happens every day, but you know, every week it's happening now in a different kind of way. So that's neat. So that's one, I think, just out of our experience. Boy, what's another one? I think maybe for anybody, it might be a good time to have conversations about feelings.
Vulnerability? Oh, big word.
Yeah. I mean, to have again, most of us are very unaware of our feelings on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Go talk to your counselor about that, you know, about your particular brand of whatever that is. But in a family system, it's easy to not do that too, because she's got to go to soccer practice. He's got celebration of learning night. You know, like, you got to go have a beer with your friends. Like, you, as much as you have moments of connection, like, right now is making me realize how much we just pass by each other every day. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, man, who's having a conversation about their feelings? You know, like, who's even paying attention to it at that point? But now that's all we're paying attention to. I feel sad. I feel anxious. I feel afraid. I feel, today was great. The sun came out and it made me really happy, you know? And yeah, that's the thing. I would hate to miss the opportunity to do that. I don't, maybe that's just out of my house. I don't know what it's like in your house. Maybe y'all are talking about your feelings nonstop all day long.
No, the vulnerability thing is something I'm definitely trying to work on throughout all of this.
Do you want to bring Ryan in and we can have him weigh in on this right now too?
Do a little group chat.
Let's talk marriage.
right, because that's huge right now with husbands being home. And it's interesting because Ryan and I do have that in the summer where we're both home with the kids.
Yeah, you're both teachers, so this feels unique. Like the summertime to you.
That's what it does a little bit, but then we can't go anywhere, right? So, right. You know, it's just a little different. But yeah. So just, it always takes time to process through that. And I just noticed too, all of us being in the same space, even my own kids are watching me do everything that they normally don't see me do. Like, they're watching Zoom. They're watching me be a teacher. They're watching me.
They're hearing you talk to me right now and that's the kind of person my mom is when I'm not looking at her.
Right. They'll just look at me and they're embarrassed. Like, what are you doing, mom? That's so embarrassing. Why are you talking like that? And I'm like, because I do have a teacher voice, you know, they're used to that. They don't think it's weird, you know? And so it's been interesting to be able to talk through, you know, those different kinds of things and be like, yeah, normally we're really busy. Like, we're busy, and we're moving from thing to thing and we don't always have time to sit and talk about it. But yeah, that's what my day looks like sometimes. And, you know, so we've been having really good conversations, but also being more vulnerable sometimes and being like, yeah, this is hard. I have to remember to do that I don't always have to be this it's good. We're going to be all right. You know, sometimes it is hard and I have to remind myself to say that every once in a while too.
Yeah. I don't think any of us should feel my job in the situation is to be, all right, time to be the cheerleader. Right. You know, like, there's some of it that we've got to do.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Cause we don't want our families just to freak out and lose their ever-loving minds. Right. Right. But at the same time, the word that's been thrown around a lot in the kind of circles that I'm in is lament, which is not the same word as depression, right? But biblically speaking, like, there are these seasons of lament. Who was it? I think Cindy was, she's reading a book and she loves to read books of people. It's like autobiography kind of books, right? About mostly people who have really messed up lives and then don't anymore, because those are more interesting to read. Mm-hmm. So this is a book about me, just kidding. But she's reading a book and someone said, I didn't know that feelings were for feeling, right? Like, all of my feelings were meant to be felt. I thought some of them were, and others were meant to be ignored, right? Right? Like, the happy feelings I was supposed to feel, but it wasn't okay for you to feel the sad ones, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in the Bible, whenever there's conversation around lament, or even the book of Lamentations, which is all laments, right? And even there's some Psalms that are that way and things like that. It's permission to go, yeah, feel all of your feelings, and you have ones that don't feel good. Those are meant to be felt too. And we're in a season of, like, there are things that are okay to lament. Yeah, man, I know it sucks. You can't go out and play with your friends. I know it. You know, I'm saying that to Ryan mostly, but you know, you can't see your teachers and say goodbye. Things are hard, you know, like, people are losing their jobs. And like, this is a time we should be lamenting something. Like, we are losing things, and that is okay to say that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And at the other hand is, like, we have opportunity too. Like, the family dynamic of intimacy like, is an opportunity in the midst of lament that is one to take advantage of, it's not easy, but.
Right.
I think that's what we've been trying to do mostly. What I've been trying to help people do in our Sunday stuff too is going, look, this is not a corporate gathering anymore. This is a family conversation now. So like, let's take advantage of the opportunity to develop intimacy in our family language. But
mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. And I think too, you know, just thinking about that family dynamic and, you know, before we were all, you know, stay home ordered, you know, and like, I think it was easy to feel those great things. And then the busyness, it helps you avoid. Like going from here to there and here to there, it kind of helps you avoid those other feelings that you have. And now,
because you know, your conversations can just be transactional,
exactly. Right?
Like, what time do we have to get ready? Hey, did you do your homework? Hey, let's now do this thing, right? Rather than sitting in, I wonder what's going on inside of you today.
Right. And it's been really cool the past, you know, like few weeks, and just noticing what they're doing and really being able to be more encouraging with them and being able to come back to that more too, because there's so much more time to talk about everything. Mm-hmm.
There is. And I've been trying to encourage my kids around patience. Like, this is a great season to talk about patience too, right? Like, with all of us, with my kids, it's just like, hey man, you got all the time in the world right now. No hurry. Like, all right, do it tomorrow, you know, or whatever it is. Which is a different pace than we usually run at. And it makes me wonder, are my kids growing up in a world where patience isn't an option?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably a big miss, you know?
Right.
Who was I talking to? Now, she's a counselor, you know, and she works a lot with teenagers. And she's like, yeah, everyone's got anxiety. Like, anxiety is the highest, like, diagnoses that they're given out, you know, like some form of that. And I'm like, yeah, they're growing up without the luxury of patience. I don't have to wait for a conversation with my friend. I don't have to wait, you know, to get results. Even my kid comes home from his day at school, he pulls up Power School and he's like, here's my grades today. And I'm like, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, and like, I'll open the mailbox and let's see what happens. It's like roulette, right? You know?
Right.
I don't know. Are your kids very patient at this age?
Not usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really good point to really start talking about patience again. I tried to look for ways to teach them patience.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to try to, you know, look for those times to talk about it, because everything is, a lot of things are so instant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can, you know, patience where it's a struggle. Like, a lot of times they can wait a day or two. I mean, they're not like demanding.
Yeah. But if it's like painful to wait.
Yeah. When it becomes painful to wait, I don't know how often they really truly feel that way where they can process it. So, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, this is now I really feel what patience is. Like, I have to really wait for something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, now, you know, with, I have to really wait. I can't just go to the park even and play on a swing set anymore. You know, like, that's even roped off. They're seeing these parks roped off, and I just wonder how their little minds are processing it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to make it sound like, gosh, I'm starting to feel like, boy, this sounds like we're very in tune and in touch parents, and like conversations are very, you know, feeling centered. And I'm like, listen, most of the last 4 days, we've all been just in separate corners of the house avoiding each other. Right. Like, this is not what it sounds like, but
right. And we're all
reflection, you know?
Right. I'm just trying to keep everybody to sit at the dinner table and not have one try to wander away. Like, no, come back and sit, you know, you don't have anything you got to do. Right. Yeah.
I think right now, I don't know, I've lost all sense of space and time at the moment, but I think this is going on 4 weeks here almost, you know, and like, we were all about it the first couple of weeks. We were engaged in it really well. We were engaged with each other really well. And now, especially this week, I felt really sad this week. Like, I felt very anxious. I have, you know, I have not spoken well. I have not acted well. I have, like, I've got a lot of, like, I don't know, I'm just feeling some depression a little bit, you know, like, I'm feeling, man, this is hard, and I don't want to engage with anybody right now. So that doesn't make me a great parent when your kids are there not 100% of the time, you know, or a great husband when it's just like, we're just going to sit on opposite sides of the couch, put something on TV, and each play a game on our phone.
Right. We have those moments.
But I'm trying to be patient with myself and going, yeah, and tomorrow, we got all the time in the world, and tomorrow will be the next day.
Tomorrow is a new day, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially here in the extension, you know, and you keep getting these moments and
I feel like, Ryan's probably pretty good at this though.
He is so good at it.
And he's such a chill guy, you know?
He is. And I am a mover and I like to accomplish things and talk to people and have great conversation. And I'm just like, he's like, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, all right, let's do that for the 100th time. Let's go for a walk.
How are you meeting your social needs right now? Because I know that's true about you. That I gotta be around people. How are you doing that?
Zoom. Yeah. I have a new appreciation for Zoom. Like just having stuff and talking on the phone.
Oh really? You know? Do you like make it a point to do that every day with certain people or what?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. For sure. I like. Okay. Who am I talking to today? Might be phone. Might be Zoom. Might be text. But just trying to make sure that I'm reaching out daily to people so that,
I mean, I haven't gotten a phone call, so I guess you haven't gotten that far down the list.
Hey, I'll shout you out next time. I'll surprise you with a shout out. What up, Scott? That's what I'll do for you.
Yeah, I've been trying to do the same thing. Like, I've got a little recurring task. This is like, make a phone call today, you know, because I need a task, otherwise I won't do it, so. I haven't done that every day, but even just doing this kind of stuff is really helpful for me. Cause about every other day, like I'm having a real conversation with somebody that helps me get a window into their world and makes me feel a little bit connected. But I mean, I spend most of my Mondays and Tuesdays in meetings anyways, but I've also noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this at all yet, but I have noticed that, if you and I were to do this every single day, I think I would probably start to realize, oh, Missy and I are still missing each other a little bit. Like we're still crossing our wires a little bit because there's something I'm finding that with people, even if there are people I talk to weekly, right? I'm like, oh, I can read that text message with the wrong intonation, right? Or what did he mean in that email? Or, boy, they haven't followed up on that last thing. And I don't know, like, where are they at? And so, like, my brain is starting to realize we're not connected. And, like, the screen is just faking me out to think I am. And so, like, I'm the kind of guy that needs maybe that physical presence to be like, okay, I can see your body language. I'm looking you in the face, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I get we're friends, you know? And yeah, but I don't know if you've experienced that at all, but
oh my gosh, I just had that conversation.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not kidding you. Like, and I said, what's so hard is that, you know, we're having all these meetings and we're all interacting and but yet even with like coworkers, like Zooms and we're doing grade level Zooms, we're just third grade team is meeting and we're trying to put information out. And yeah, it's just, but then, yeah, that whole idea of like, what's really happening here? Oh my gosh, are we on the same page? And I'm like, I can't see you. Like, I need to see your body. I need to see how you're reacting because you can't, that's where technology, you can't read your tone, you know? And that does get tricky after a while.
We're all getting really, really good at exaggerated head movements because we can't just give verbal like cues. We have to really nod our heads back and forth to show people we're in on what's engaged. Going on.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, for
sure. This is a really stupid segue into something else or non-sequitur, but I'm reading a series of books called The Expanse. It's a show on Amazon, but I don't really like the show, but I read the books. And it talks about people who grew up in the asteroid belt above Mars where there is no gravity. And that they have a lot of like body language, physical sign movements, like a particular hand signal means yes or no, or I understand you, because they've all grown up interacting in spacesuits a lot. So they can't talk as much. And so that's how I feel like we're growing up in outer space right now.
Right.
You know, to come up with different ways to, but there's some connective energy around human beings in the same physical space that, man, it really sucks that it's not here right now.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if my kids feel that right now or if anybody else feels it, but at least I feel.
No, I definitely this whole new way to interact and not be able to feel comfortable, you know, being able to be face to face with someone. Like, you have to have distance is not normal for me. Like, that's not how I operate. Yeah. So I think that's a challenge.
Yeah, like you said earlier, like, even when I'm talking to somebody, you know, across the driveway, I find myself just creeping towards them a little closer.
I'm not trying to scare them. I'm not trying to, like, cause a problem, you know. But yeah, I have to, like, pull myself back. Like, oh my gosh, I just moved forward 2 feet when I was talking and I didn't even realize it.
You know? Yeah. Well, and I get that other people too, like, not everybody is in this situation. Some people have to go to work and they're interacting with people all day and they feel different anxieties around being close to people and they wish they could not, or I don't know what. But one thing that is true that I've been learning in this is that we are all in the same boat and we all have a very unique experience with this. Our family systems are all different, you know, like, you know, your kids and your husband are different than my wife and my kids. Mm-hmm. And so your house functions and feels different than mine does. There are people who are locked in quarantine in a place with people they do not have good relationships with. Someone's got a roommate they kind of hate and they always just avoid each other. But now here we are, right? Like, or, you know, marriages that aren't good, or, you know, there's lots of different, everybody's got such a unique story in this thing.
Yeah.
That I can't imagine what this is like for everybody, but I appreciate you sharing what things are like for you right now. And you asked some really good questions, and we should do this again sometime.
For sure. Thanks.
All right. Well, hey, listen, if you are listening for the first time, go ahead and subscribe to Jamestown Harbor Church podcast. There's a number of other fun conversations just like this one that are on there. If that's your thing, you can reach out to me at scott.pontier, P-O-N-T-I-E-R @harborchurches.org. If you want to connect, would love to talk. And I hope you guys are having a great day. See you on Monday. And yeah, I guess that's it. See you.